Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Daniel Grimmer. The New Testament reading for today is from Romans 4, verses 1 through 25. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In Paul's day, Abraham was seen as the prime example of someone who had lived a righteous life, who had lived according to God's law. People looked to God's blessing of Abraham and assumed that it must have been because he was obedient and faithful to God. But Paul explains that this is not the case. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So even if Abraham did achieve the righteousness of the law by what he did, he still could not on that basis demand anything from God. God is God. We are not. He doesn't owe us anything, even if we were perfectly obedient and faithful. The desire to have something to offer God, to want to make God be in our debt, is not righteousness, but sin. In fact, the old Adam's little charade of seeking his own righteousness is a precise demonstration of what sin really is, not resting in the gifts of God as his creature, but seeking to be free and independent from God. Now, Abraham wasn't justified by his works. His good works were an outworking, a demonstration of his great faith. That is the point of this passage of Scripture. Paul writes, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. Paul is saying here that a promise isn't fulfilled because we fulfilled a certain set of requirements. A promise is something that has no conditions. Trying to earn something that is promised makes it no longer a promise, but a reward. God gives us His grace by promise. The promise doesn't rest on our works, it rests on God's grace. There are no conditions, no fine print. That is what makes grace, grace. God freely bestows on us forgiveness, life, and salvation, despite the fact that we don't deserve any of it, because Christ freely gives us His righteousness as a promise and a guarantee. God calls that righteousness into existence in us through the gospel. There's nothing in us that He needs to fashion it. There's nothing we can do to add to it or complete it. Not even Abraham did that. He did his good works only as the outworking of his faith. God gives us our righteousness as His promise, and He tells us to receive it by faith, by trusting in Him and His promise. It rests on His grace. All that is required to reap the benefits of that promise is given to us as a gift. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he lived by faith in that promise. So we too live by faith in the promise of Christ, who calls into being our righteousness and our life and salvation, and gives them all to us as His good and perfect gift. Amen. O Lord, keep Your family, the Church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of Your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by Your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.